Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back into Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner, and joining me as he does for every Spoofhound Spotlight is the Maryville R2 Superintendent, Dr. Logan Lightfoot. Thanks for joining me this morning. So I guess I should have asked this last month, but it seems like before Board of Education meetings, you're kind of going on a little bit of a walking tour with the board. I guess go ahead and tell me the idea behind it and what it is that's happening.
Yeah, we call them walking workshops. And so we started that, like you said, we started that last month in October. And really, Jeremy, the idea of it is just to give our board and anybody else that wants to join us just kind of an idea. We're looking at, you know, phase one this spring to do a lot of really good renovations for our schools and make sure our buildings really are the best they are for our kids and our staff. And you know, the first step in doing that is identifying areas to improve. And, you know, a lot of our board members, if you don't have kids in the elementary school, you really have no reason to go to the elementary school, for example. And so we take a tour of each building and kind of see, you know, what it looks like, get a little bit of a history, you know, of the building, you know, the history of renovations in that particular building, that kind of thing. And then we talk through some potential ideas on what we could do for renovations. So we did that for Eugene Field and the Early Childhood Center in October. And then when we took a tour, we did the Maryville High School.
Okay, and the thing that, at least when I think of like walking tours for renovations, I think about when I used to work at the old Kansas City International Airport, and anytime discussions of a new airport, I mean, this was so long ago now, but anytime discussions of a new airport came up, they're like, we're going to go do a tour. Yes, we're going to show you where the renovations happened, and then we're going to show you the blemishes. Is that kind of what it is as well?
A little bit, yeah. So, you know, we talk about, you know, there's a lot of good in all of our buildings for sure. I mean, you know, talking about renovations and not building new, so obviously there's good things in those buildings. And so we look at those things, but we also look at areas that we really need to improve. So, for example, at Eugene Field, in the Early Childhood Center, we looked at, you know, the disproportion in some of the classrooms. So we have some classrooms that might be 400 square feet or smaller, some classrooms that are 800 and everything in between. And so we kind of looked at some of those things, you know, at the high school that, you know, we've got, you know, some classrooms that might only have a couple of electrical outlets, you know, and today's learner that, you know, has a computer, has a laptop, those kinds of things. So what the needs of today's learners are, and then kind of actually put some eyes on it and actually see it in real life. So I think it's very helpful.
Well, good. I think, you know, just like you said, it's good when you're able to have people who, you know, haven't been in the schools or, you know, haven't seen what needs to be seen to kind of visualize those improvements. So it's very good to hear about that. The other kind of improvement that seems to be happening is the hiring of a new counselor.
Yeah, this is actually the year before I came, they committed as a school district. We do it through a program called Root Ed, and we have hired it's a third counselor at the high school, and that particular counselor, Becky Houchins, she works in this job, and Ms. Houchins does a fantastic job. Long time employee of our school district, but she works very specifically with upperclassmen and seniors that are going on post-secondary. So what those plans look like, and I don't know what your experiences were when you were in high school, but I remember mine, and that next step's scary. And you know, your parents might or might not be able to help you out. You know, they might or might not have gone on to college or got on any type of post-high school training. But, you know, when you're in that kind of that phase where 12 months from your senior year, it's going to look a whole lot different. It's really nice to have somebody there to support. And wow, Ms. Houchins just, she does awesome. And so her role in that is to meet with students one-on-one, to meet with families, to kind of break down everything on the important steps for being successful after high school. So what does it look like to fill out a FAFSA? How can you get help with that? What does it look like to fill out a scholarship form? You know, all the things that, you know, we as teachers kind of take for granted, but, you know, for a high school, a 17, 18-year-old student, those things can be huge life choices, and we really want to support our students and our families for that next step. And wow, she's the program is fantastic, and she's done a great job with it.
How many counselors is this now for the high school? Is it three or four?
It's three.
Okay. Because you asked me my kind of relationship with my counselor in high school, and I remember graduating class of like 600. We only had like two counselors for them. So
yeah.
When I hear four counselors or three counselors, I'm like, oh, wow, that's a lot of individual kind of hands-on work.
Yeah, and we've been fortunate to be able to find some grant funds for that. But, you know, most important about that's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for our kids, and we want to make sure as a school district that we do everything we possibly can to support that, I mean, all age groups, but in particular that age group that's really taken that next step past high school. I mean, unknown waters, but great opportunities as well, that we're able to really, you know, work with them and work with their parents and their family to really maximize what that next step looks like. You know, if there's opportunities that are local that, you know, they might want to stay local, that we can plug them into, you know, whatever that next step might be, or if it's wherever else, that we do everything we can to help prepare them for that next step.
That sounds great. The kind of other thing I wanted to ask you about was the, and I guess I didn't know this, I guess, you know, I try and keep up on everything happening in the district, but there's always so much. There's a search going on for an assistant superintendent, it looks like.
There is, yeah. So Mr. Klotz, another longtime great employee of our school district, fantastic leader, he is retiring this year. And so he announced his retirement a few months back, and so those are big shoes to fill, and it's an incredibly important position too. Just, you know, not only the title, but in terms of what that position does and how that particular position and person has influence on our leaders and influence on our schools. And so we expect to have a great pool of candidates, because I'm pretty biased, but I feel like we have a phenomenal school district, and, you know, I think it's very attractive for a very good leader to come and want to work at a place like this. And so kind of timeline on that, we're going to accept applications through the beginning of December, and my hope is to go through the interview process and really find someone who's a great fit for Maryville R2. And I think we're going to be able to do that.
I know last year we had several of the principals that were selected for their new roles this year. I remember Kate Lydon was one of the ones that stuck out. You know, are you expecting with this search to kind of, I mean, I'm sure, but are you expecting to look outside as well as within?
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do both. And so really this sounds so cliche, but it's true. I mean, we've got to find the best fit and the best leader for this position. And, you know, with that comes, you know, we want to find somebody that, you know, high integrity, high character, you know, someone that can come in and really emphasizes relationships with people, really emphasizes trust, and is very competent in their job. And so that it'll be a, you know, I think this is a good thing. It'll probably be a tough decision, but that's a good thing, because that means you've got quality people that are applying for the job, and you've got quality people that want to work for your school district.
And what is this assistant superintendent? I'm sure there's some people out there thinking it might be like a secretary, and I'm sure some people might be like, oh, it's like Kamala Harris or Mike Pence. Logan goes down, they're the next one up.
Great question. So, and actually, when you look at school leadership and school district leadership, those titles and those positions can look different by district, right? And so really kind of my philosophy in leadership is I take a team approach. You know, you've got to have a leader and someone in charge, you know. But that being said, kind of the way I look at our administrative council is what we call it, is you've got your building administrators, and then you've got district level leadership. You have your superintendent and your assistant superintendent. And so kind of the way we look at it and we kind of break things down, you know, your superintendent, I really like to, I manage and I kind of look to kind of grow our leaders, our principals. That assistant superintendent has some specific jobs, right? There's some things that, you know, they've got specific things that they watch over, that they lead, but just in general, they really do. They're more involved kind of in the actual buildings and working with some of the programs that go on in our buildings and making sure those things are successful. Work with myself and our CSIP, which is our Continuous School Improvement Program, making sure that we have our goals set, we have the right goals set, and that we're following and monitoring those.
Okay. That makes, I myself did not know, so that makes total sense. You know, There was also a CSIP update at the Board of Education meeting this month. I don't even know how to begin to ask about that, so I guess go ahead.
You bet. So that's another thing with public schools, another nuance. We like our alphabet soup, right? We like all sorts of acronyms and that kind of thing. Well, CSIP is one of those, but it's actually a really important one for us. So CSIP, like I had said, a continuous school improvement plan. The best way I can describe that is a CSIP is like our strategic plan. Well, it's not like our, it is our strategic plan. And so what we look at with our CSIP, it typically is a multi-year plan. And in our case with Maryville, it's a five-year plan. And so we actually originally adopted this plan in 2021. And so this was a couple of years before I came in. Dr. Albright had a team together and really set the district in a really good path with some very, I would say, very specific goals and objectives. You know, what does effective learning look like in our school district pre-K through 12? What does a successful student look like? What does it look like for our buildings to move forward? You know, everything from learning to facilities, all those things are addressed in the CSIP, right? So now we're at 2023, and so we're at a point to where we can kind of take a look at that plan, and let's take a look and see what objectives and goals have been accomplished. What do we need to look at the next couple of years, and what needs to be revised, and what maybe needs to be added to that plan to where we kind of look for the next couple of years to go to where, yep, we see that we've accomplished these things. Here's kind of the next steps in that. So really, Jeremy, it's kind of a midpoint check. And so we've actually worked with our leadership team, with our administrative council. So we've kind of gone through the teaching and learning side of that right now, and we're kind of moving on to the facility side and those things. And I just updated the board on that a little bit. And kind of my hope is early second semester, we can sit down as a board and leadership team and look at that and make sure we have that updated. And we really kind of have the sails moving forward.
Because it's updated every couple of years, and because the Board of Education inherently, you know, changes every couple of years, does the Board of Education have a say in that?
Yeah, it's really important that we've got, and I keep using the term stakeholders, but it's important that we have a lot of stakeholders involved in it. Because really, if you make it one person or a small group of people's plan, and you've got, in our case, you know, 250 employees, 1,300, 1,400 students, it's really kind of hard to buy into that, you know? And so we really do. We want to have a lot of people involved in it. But most importantly, we want to have a common vision. And so if we can really think about as a team, what does a successful school district look like? What do we want our students to, you know, when they graduate, what skills do we want them to have? How can we best support our kids? How can we best support our teachers? Those kinds of things. Those are kind of the essential questions that guide us. And really, once we start going through those, you know, in some ways, the strategic plan kind of writes itself.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, the other thing I kind of wanted to touch on a bit is, you know, not to talk about it like it's, you know, it is what it is, but boys' football season came to an end this month, unfortunately, against the, I feel like it's almost now the rivalry in the past few years against St. Pius. But, you know, to look at the, you know, kind of upside is, you know, with the end of football comes the beginning of winter sports in the district.
Absolutely. And, yeah, it's, you know, it's tough to end a season like that. But I will tell you, I'm not a football coach. I'm not a coach at all. But I get to just watch as a fan, and I could not be more proud of our athletes. You talk about class. You talk about doing things the right way, talk about hard work. That embodied our football team. And I can say with a very straight face, that embodies a lot of our athletic programs. And, you know, win or lose, and again, this, I'm trying to avoid cliche, but that's what Maryville R2 is about. And that's what we want. That's what we want our kids to have. And that's what Maryville R2 has been about for, I would say, many, many years. And that's why this is such a great place and community. Hard work is valued here, you know. Integrity is valued here, and that's what we want to teach our kids. That's what our kids see and experience growing up, and that's why this place will continue to be special. And so we talk about the end of football, and yeah, that's sad that that ends, but you know, we had so many fall sports be successful, and we had a soccer team go to the state championships. We had a cross country team. We had girls and boys cross country team both qualify for state, which first time in the history of our school district that's ever happened. Could not be more proud of our kids' accomplishments, but I would say I couldn't be more proud of our kids and our coaches. And that's the way they compete and the way they carry themselves.
Oh, most definitely. I feel like, you know, there's so many seniors on the football team that had, you know, really hang their hat on the job that they've done, the records they've broken. I feel like the younger ones have something now to look forward to next year. I feel like, you know, it's a little sad that it didn't, you know, if you don't win it all, I mean, you can't win it all every year, but, you know, you have to take away the positives or else you're just going to be disappointed every year. You're going to end up, not to rag on anybody's team, but you're going to end up like Lakers fans or Patriots fans and just mad every year you don't win. And it's like, no, you got to take away the positives.
100%. And we've got a whole lot to be proud of, that's for sure.
All right. Well, anything you're looking forward to next month in the district?
You know, it's just, you know, we're wrapping up. We're wrapping up a really successful semester, and so that's it's always kind of fun, and when you hit December to kind of walk through our hallways, and you get this happens in every school, but when you get to December, it's kids are looking forward to that holiday break, teachers are looking forward to that holiday break, but you know the weather's kind of changing a little bit, but it's always fun to kind of go through and watch how in each way each teacher kind of puts their end of the semester, right? You know, in high school class, there's a lot of high school classes where there's semester courses, you know, all those kinds of things, but really it's kind of fun to watch those things. And so in terms of anything specific, not necessarily, but just it's an exciting time to be in our schools, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, anything else happening in the district you'd like to mention?
No, just congratulations, like we said before, congratulations to our not only our fall athletes, but our fall sports and activities in general. Just we've talked about sports, how successful those are, but let's not forget, I mean, we had a fantastic play production, Little Mermaid. Great success with our vocal music and band this fall as well, and really looking forward to the next semester with we've got some vocal music things coming up this next semester I'm really looking forward to, so it's going to be pretty exciting next semester.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and dive into the next part of the show, which is to better know our superintendent, yeah. Logan Lightfoot, and the I picked a question that's a little bit esoteric, I guess, in a way, so I guess I'll have to ask you a yes or no first. Have you ever gone Black Friday shopping?
Yes.
Do you have a crazy Black Friday story? Because I feel and for those of you who are young enough not to know, Black Friday used to be this crazy huge thing. Now we have like what, Cyber Monday, Small Business Saturday. Yeah. Black Friday deals apparently started at Walmart just this past couple weeks. I mean, there's all these. It's basically not even Black Friday anymore. But growing up, I still remember vaguely the first time I understood what Black Friday was, and it was because there was a line of about 500 people outside of a Best Buy at like 9 p.m. after Thanksgiving, and the doors weren't going to open for another 8 hours, and there was yep. already 500 people there. But I was curious if you had a crazy Black Friday shopping story.
Yeah, my wife was big into Black Friday shopping, like when we first got married, and so that was like her thing, and I think I went with her a couple times. I don't know if it's anything crazy, but the one I do remember, and it was in Zona Rosa, we had a foreign exchange student from Germany. And like to your point, like the 500 or the throngs of people that were all waiting outside of wherever, whatever store this was. So my wife, some of her friends were in line, and she brought our foreign exchange student. And somehow out of this entire like 500 or so people, there was like Channel 9 or Channel 4 News or whatever it was that was there filming. They picked out our German foreign exchange student. And so our foreign exchange student was on TV on the news that night talking about how excited she was for Black Friday and how she'd never seen anything like that before. So if there's anything, I don't know that that's crazy necessarily, but that was certainly something that we were not expecting.
It didn't happen to me personally. I was in the vicinity, but I was at a Walmart where we were, I mean, once we got driver's licenses, we just did whatever we wanted. And so on Black Friday, we're like, well, let's go get some video games. They're on cheap, and, you know, we have, we just cashed our big check of $100, you know, from our, you know, crappy jobs. So let's go buy some video games. And we were waiting in line, and there was just this commotion, and we looked over, and most people did. It was louder than everything else in there. And then as soon as like the noise kind of died down, everyone just kind of shrugged and went back to your thing. Well, I learned later that it was, I guess, a fight breaking out and someone macing both of them.
Oh, Was it police officers macing or like another person macing people?
Another person.
No, you gotta watch it. It was kind of the law of the jungle on Black Friday, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there. Just go to YouTube, look it up. There's probably old videos of just people, you know, acting like animals and just like punching each other and all this. Because they, I don't know if you remember this, but they used to bring out just pallets of just like the popular thing, whether it was like crock pots at like Bed Bath & Beyond or TVs at Best Buy. And they'd bring them out on pallets and they would just be gone in an instant.
I do kind of remember that. That's right. Yep.
But I used to work in retail. So I kind of recognize that misery. Yes.
So did you work in Black Friday for like when you were retail?
I worked for a merchandiser and I worked at a Best Buy.
Okay.
And they were like, you need to set up everything so that the Best Buy employees don't need to. I'm like, okay. So I set it all up and they're like, you need to come in Friday and just pick up the pieces. And I was like, okay, whatever that means. And pick up the pieces meant just walking around the store and going, oh, here's a CD in a fridge. Here's, you know, a movie jammed into a CD player. Like, you know, I don't want to... I guess you could say it's almost like walking through a battlefield. There's just stuff everywhere. None of it makes sense. And you're just like, But I did go into a Target once after the commotion, because there is a die-down period of... you know, once everyone's gotten what they want. And I remember going through a Target and the employees were just, it was like a bunch of zombies walking around just, you know, distraught and downtrodden, just picking up things and just carrying it to where they were supposed to be. But that the magic of that chaos is gone now.
I believe it is.
Well, the other part of the holidays is Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And so... I was kind of thinking in terms of, you know, not only your favorite Thanksgiving dish, but a dish that you would just wish would just disappear forever from the Thanksgiving table.
Okay.
And when I think Thanksgiving, and maybe this is just my weird family, but my uncle makes a great pork loin and makes this pork gravy.
Ooh.
That is just amazing. And it's gotten to a point where we just prefer the pork loin. We could care less if a turkey's made for Thanksgiving anymore.
Yeah, nice.
So that's...
That sounds all right.
That's my favorite dish. As to what could we could get rid of forever. Sweet potato casserole? I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Oh, I thought you'd say that.
Why? Is that yours?
That's my favorite.
Oh!
So...
you could get rid of pork loin. I don't care.
I'm the total renegade of my family. My whole family hates sweet potatoes. I love them. And sweet potato casserole, I could have that dish, and that'd be my Thanksgiving. I'd be fine with that.
I think it's just something about the flavor is meshing with everything else. I have the gravy. I have the stuffing. I have green. And then it's like, ugh, what is this?
Okay. Well.
Not to knock your favorite thing.
It's okay. My what I'd get rid of. Boy, if these radio waves or online waves reach Topeka, Kansas, my dear mother-in-law, whom, wonderful lady, love her, great, great person, she has a dish.
Oh, no.
It's congealed. As a rule of thumb, I kind of try to stay away from congealed food. And Jan, you're fantastic. But if I had to get rid of one, it's a Jell-O mold of some sort. There's Jell-O, there's mayonnaise in it.
What?
I think almonds, maybe some marshmallow. I'm not sure, but that dish makes its way every Thanksgiving. And you know, my wife and I have been married almost 20 years, and it's kind of the running joke between my wife and I think the kids have gotten in on it. I always take a little bit of a helping, you know, because that's the right thing to do, right? And my wife always comes over and gets more of it on my plate. And over the last 18 to 20 years, that helping kind of gets more and more. Like she sneaks more on, and I've got to clean my plate. And so that's kind of the joke between us. So if I could have one thing disappear, it'd be that.
Why is there mayonnaise?
I don't know. But it's a little bit unsettling on the stomach.
I always think of Jell-O as kind of the retirement home food.
Well, I don't know.
I like Jell-O as a kid. I don't know. There's plenty of things as a kid I don't like anymore. Bologna is one of them, but Jell-O, nah, not really. But a Jell-O mold with at least there's not like, I don't know, pieces of ham or something in it.
I don't know. I'm gonna try to farm some out to Landry this year. That's kind of my plan. I've already strategized a little bit.
How big are we talking?
It's a healthy size.
Like it's the size of a dinner plate. Like it sits on top of a dinner plate.
Oh, it's definitely plate size.
That's too big.
And like I said, my wife like somehow gets the like stealthy sneak of like getting more and more onto my plate each time.
My second, I get, maybe it's just desserts, come to think of it, but my second would probably be pumpkin pie. And it's because, man, I'm just knocking everything. No, it's because like, you know, as a kid, sometimes you just eat so much of something, you just become, nah, I don't want any more. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with me. My mom loved it, so we had it for almost every holiday, and now I'm just like, nah, I don't need it. I do not. And then if I do have to eat it to be nice, I'm like, all right, where's the Cool Whip?
I'm going to drown that pumpkin with some Cool Whip.
Oh, yeah. Because where it's more like there's pumpkin pie on my Cool Whip.
Nonetheless, Thanksgiving is top holiday, fantastic holiday.
Is there a dish you make? Are you in charge of the turkey?
You know, sometimes I'm not like a go-to on anything with cooking. So I've done it before. I can't say it's fantastic, Jeremy, if I'm honest with you.
I feel like, not to knock people who love turkey, it just seems like the strangest thing to make as the centerfold of a Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Because it's dry.
Yeah. We did, so in Nebraska, we moved from Nebraska. When we lived there, the big thing in Nebraska is to serve prime rib with Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Yeah, we were in cattle country. And so we ate some really, really good prime rib with Thanksgiving for a couple of years.
Half my family is Jewish. That's a big thing to have in December.
Oh, sure.
Either a brisket or prime rib.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So, yeah, that sounds way better than turkey. I didn't know that was a Nebraska thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's at least where we live. That was a big deal.
Honestly, when you said Nebraska, I thought you were going to say corn casserole or something. Which,
well, that's a given. That's going to be in Nebraska for sure.
I mean, you could make a good creamy corn casserole.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that does sound good. But no, so where we lived in Nebraska, it was the number two cattle producing county in the United States. And so that was, I mean, about every holiday, every meal, anything, there was a healthy portion of red meat.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's way better than turkey. Not to knock anybody who loves turkey. I'm sure there's people out there. It's a staple of Thanksgiving. But all right, well, anything else you'd like to add?
No, Jeremy, great visiting as always, and great bragging on our school district. That's for sure. A lot to brag on.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, kawasakimaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at mazingolake.com.